Happy Wednesday, Wisconsin. This is Anya Esther of The Maggie Dawn Show, and this is, in fact, The Maggie Dawn Show right now, what you're listening to, but you'll note a distinct lack of Maggie Dawn. I'm so sorry. I know it is but one day before the holiday break, and yet I bring you a big turkey of a present, which is to say nothing, no Maggie, on your Maggie Dawn Show, but rest assured, tomorrow on Thanksgiving, the day following on Black Friday, we are going to have two really, really special episodes of The Maggie Dawn Show. I'll tell you what, it's hard to find, first of all, Thanksgiving music at all. It's hard to find music that is about Thanksgiving. And additionally, it's hard to find songs about Thanksgiving that were recorded by women, but I found at least 8 of them, I think. At least 4, maybe 8 total. And you'll get to hear those songs, some really deep cuts from yesteryear Americana. During that best of episode, I've added bumpers to some of our best interviews, some of our favorite jokes, just some good feel-good stuff. And I'll tell you what, I pulled some stuff from our interview with Susan Wiley of the Cheetah Method, the woman who we had on almost like a month, maybe even 2 months ago, who talked about how women across age, across race, across socioeconomic background, women are silencing themselves so much that it's making them, us, me, physically ill. I tucked a little bit of that in because I thought, you know, Thanksgiving is, you're already going to get a stomach ache from, you know, all the good pumpkin pie you're going to have and the extra scoop of mashed potatoes and grandma's famous cranberry sauce. Don't also get a stomach ache or worse because you decide it's better to hold your tongue than to volley back at someone the exact disrespect that they gave you, especially when that disrespect is based on your gender. I want to talk about how I got disrespected based on my gender today, and then I'm going to talk about AI, and it's going to be a really good pre-holiday show. First of all, if you're not watching on the live stream, your loss, but I'll describe for you what you're missing out on. I'm a redhead now, which is fun. And I decided that on my way to my appointment to become a redhead, my redheadening, if you will, I was going to walk because it's very, very short distance between where I live and where I get my haircut. And also my Kia got stolen again last week. Womp womp. Fourth time in a year. In case you were wondering if the Kia boys are alive and well, apparently so. So I decided, decided is a strong word to use here. I walked from my apartment to my hair appointment. And as I'm walking down a long straight road, a one-way road, I see a man at the end of it on the corner. And being a woman, being a person who lives in a city, you're just kind of always taking notes. And I just noted this person. No one else on the street. Bright, sunny day. I mean, this is early afternoon. Okay? He's standing on the corner. And a little voice inside of me goes, this guy's going to bother you. And not just in like, oh, he's bothering me by existing. It's like, I could just tell that when I crossed this person's path, they were going to proposition me. They were going to not just say, hi, how are you? Not just simple pleasantries of neighbors passing neighbors. But in addition to this, I could just tell this person was going to make comments about me, about my body, about my clothing, about my demeanor, all these things that, I'm sorry, men don't get comments on from strangers almost any time. And sure enough, I cross his path. We're at a cross intersection. And remember how I said from where I was walking from, I could see him just hanging on the corner? Yeah, as soon as I pass him, that's when he's like, you know what? I got to actually continue down this road with this person, which is to say this guy starts following me. And it is the typical quote unquote compliments that men give. compliments, again, strong word for what this was. He says, "Hey, beautiful sister," which is nice enough on its own. I said, "Hey." He asked, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm good. How are you?" He said, "I'm well," in different words. And then the proposition begins. And it's both deeply uncomfortable statements about his attraction to my physical body, coupled with that, in addition to him expressing and feeling this way, I should reward him financially. I want to be super clear. I have experienced financial hardships in my life. And I respect the hustle, man. I will not shame someone who has to ask for money because I've been there. I will not turn my nose up at someone just hanging out on a street corner because that's their home for right now. Fair enough, man. Fair enough, and I wish you the best. And if there's something I can do to help you, not, you know, arouse or entertain you, help you. If there's something I can do there, I'm your gal. Like, I am all about mutual aid and actually helping people. And when someone who's clearly down on their luck is in my, you know, life, I like to ask specific questions, say, like, what do you need? What would actually help? And when someone tells me, I try to do my best to do that. That's who I am. And I am also a woman. Okay? All of those things, and I am a woman. So this guy's response, and again, I want to be super clear. I was polite, period. It's not up for debate. And I said to him, I felt uncomfortable. I didn't say that to him. I made the decision I was going to cross the street and walk on the other side of the street from him. Because when I tell you that this man, this gentleman, this person, this human was following me, I mean, he was up on me. All right? Like white on rice. Close. And it's not about, did he smell? I didn't notice. You know, was he uncomfortable? In a way. But the thing more is like, I don't want you, stranger who's already made me uncomfortable, to touch me. And normally strangers don't reach out and touch strangers. But it's something that's definitely happened to me as a woman. On public transit, on roads, everywhere, on a train, on a plane, in the yard, in the barn, all these things, right? It's like a Dr. Seuss book. Oh, the places that men will make you feel uncomfortable. I said, he was telling me a very, very long story. And I turned to him and I said, "Hey man, have a great day." And we were going to continue walking straight together. I took a hard right turn, crossed the street, continued walking down the road. And I got to the middle of the road and I got to censor a word here. I got to think of something that rhymes with it that I can say on air. There we go. I got it now. I'm about halfway. I've said, "Hey man, have a great day." That is a conversation ending statement. And I cross the street and he yells after me, "Hey, you're a bunch." Quite obviously, he didn't say bunch, not a bunch of bananas. I might be bananas, but that's not how he felt about me. And I kid you not, there were no cars coming, so it's not as action packed as it sounds, but I stopped in my tracks in the middle of the road. Because I walked past this person. That was the instigation. I walked past this person. And he felt entitled to talking at me, discussing my body at me, and then making the assertion that because he's provided this service, that I should financially compensate him. Straight up, if he'd come up to me and said, "Can I have a five?" I would have given it to him. If he said, "Hey, look, I'm really down on my luck. I need a place to launder my clothes. Hey, man, meet me here at 8. I will give you the quarters. We will get this taken care of." Great. But, I don't know. Being attractive to someone isn't a public service, no matter how well I do it. And I'm kind of sick of it being treated that way. So I stop dead in my tracks crossing the street. This is like under a minute of interaction. This is how much happens. I removed myself from the scenario politely, kindly, with empathy, with, frankly, pity. And I got called a term that I, the B word, that, yeah, I'll throw it around flippantly with friends, but let's not forget what it means. I, in his eyes, I am a bad person because I did not tolerate the incessant harassment that he was flinging at me. And I did the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life, man. I know that peace is learning to live without having the last word. And when we had Susan of the Cheetah Method on, the Cheetah Approach, it's one of those two. When we had her on, we discussed how men routinely have to have the last word, even if it puts the people around them in harm's way, and how women tend to not take the last word, even if they're right, even if they've got a killer closer, because they know that saying the really smart, sharp, witty thing that they have in mind could get them killed, period. But I was like, you know what? It is the middle of the day. I am in the middle of the street. He was, can you say ballsy on air? He was ballsy enough to just follow me. I mean, this is insane if you think about a woman doing this, right? But here I go, I'm ballsy enough to walk away, and I'm the bad person. So I turn on my heel, and I say something that I needed to say for me. And women, ladies, or other folks who get harassed on the street for whatever reason may have you, feel this phrase. I turned around and I looked at this man and I just went, man, you don't know me. Which sounds cliche, but like, you don't know me. How dare you make these judgments about my reaction to your harassment? I had to get that off my chest. When we come back, I have a ton of really interesting info about AI as a tool, as a weapon, as a scam artist, as everything you can imagine. We'll be back.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry.
I still don't know what that lyric means. Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. This is Anya Esther. I don't know why I said it like it was a question. This is Anya Esther. I'm the producer of the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's out. I don't know what she's doing. She's busy. But I am here to speak to you in the last section about sexism, and in this section about AI. And they're completely different things. But I had to talk about what I just covered, right? Because if it's something that happens to you, I want you to know that it happens to other people. And you can, and if you want to, should have the confidence to give that exact energy back to the people who push it onto you. And in addition, if you are someone this has never happened to, you've never seen it happen, you don't believe that it happens, I need you to start asking the people in your life, the women in your life, if it is happening, and then as a follow-up, I need you to actually believe women. Fun. All right, AI. I was scrolling through TikTok, as I far too often do, and for the first time ever, TikTok put, like, interesting good news in front of me. And if you're like, oh my gosh, Anya, tell me you fact-checked whatever you got off of TikTok. I did, and I was assisted in doing so by the fact that the video I saw was from C-SPAN's TikTok account. What an oxymoron. Who is that social media manager? Call me. You sound fun. But it caught my eye, firstly, because it was the longest TikTok I'd ever seen. It was like 6 minutes. And it also caught my interest because it's a very, very interesting story. Let me tell you about Gary Schildhorn. Gary is a father, an attorney, a normal Joe. I mean, his name's Gary, but he's a normal guy, right? He has a son. I don't know if he has any other kids, but as it is pertinent to this story, he has a son. And if I didn't already say it, he's an attorney. And one day, out of nowhere, Gary receives a call, quote unquote, from his son, quote unquote. I'm going to let Gary tell you in his own words.
As you mentioned, I'm a practicing attorney in Philadelphia, and I was the intended victim of a scam using my son's voice. And here's the story. I was on my way to work. My phone rang. It was my son. He was crying. He said, "Dad, I was in an accident. I hit another car being driven by a pregnant woman. My nose is broken. They arrested me. I'm in jail. They assigned a public defender to me. His name is Barry Goldstein. You need to call him. You have to get me out of here. Help me." I said, "Brett, I'll call him and I'll call you right back." He said, "You can't. They took my phone. Help me, Dad. I'm a father. I'm a lawyer. My son's in trouble. A pregnant woman was hurt. He's in jail. I'm in action mode."
Let's pause there. What Gary's just told you is that one day, out of the blue, he gets a call, and the call is from his son. And his son's voice on the line gives him the following barrage of information. One, it's his son. Two, he is hurt. Three, he was hurt in a car accident. And four, the car accident he was hurt in also included a pregnant woman who is severely injured, more injured than he is, and he's been arrested. Additionally, a really important name has been thrown in, that in this short time, he, the son, has been assigned a lawyer, and that lawyer is Barry Goldstein. That's all call one. Go ahead, Gary.
"Before I could do anything, my phone rings again. It's Barry Goldstein."
Now, I've just told you that, you know, Barry was referenced in that other call. Now his son has hung up, and Barry's calling this number too. For just a second, forget that I said AI was involved. For just a second, forget that I said the term scam. This is, and I'm not a parent, but I can imagine, this is one of the scariest things that can happen to a parent of an adult child. I mean, this is real world. These are real world issues. Arrests, a person who was pregnant being harmed, a car accident. This is a lot. And I can't, you know, we're not showing Gary on the live stream either, but I want to describe to you, this man's eyes appear to be full of tears as he's telling this. Maybe he's not. Maybe he just has very bright eyes in this way. But this man looks shell-shocked as he's telling this story. I'll let him continue. So the first call has hung up, and now the lawyer that his son has been assigned to is calling. These calls are coming to Gary out of nowhere.
"I just met with your son. He's hurt. He has a broken nose, but he'll be okay. He hit a car being driven by a pregnant woman. She was taken to the hospital. They arrested your son because he failed the breathalyzer test at the accident scene." I said, "Wait, my son would never drink and drive." He said, "Brett told him that, but he had an energy drink that morning, and that may have caused the failed test."
New information. This lawyer, Barry, calls, "Hey, follow up. Your son did get arrested. He's going to be okay. But we arrested him at the car accident because he drunk drove." And Gary has a refutation for this. Gary, knowing his son, I can't vouch for his son. I don't know what his son would do. But Gary, in earnest, vouching for his son, says firmly his son would never drink and drive. And Barry, whoever Barry really is, note that there's an answer for that, and it's an answer that kind of makes sense in that way that it doesn't make sense at all, where you have to go like, "Oh, that sounds right. He's a lawyer saying it." He has this immediate response. "Right. Oh, your son would never drink? Well, it's because of an energy drink he had, and it can cause a false test." And this guy's an attorney. He knows how often cops mess up their job. He knows how often clerical machines like a breathalyzer can mess up. Just note that they had an answer ready for his refutation. I think that's important.
"He said I should take some steps if I wanted to bail my son out." I said, "Of course I want to do that." He said, "Well, I'll give you the phone number for the courthouse, and here's your son's case number. You should call the courthouse and bail him out." I immediately called the courthouse.
Now Barry has given, this is now two calls have come to Gary. Now they're saying Gary, you have to call the courthouse. And the scammer provides him a phone number. Listen to what happens when he calls, quote, the courthouse.
They answer correctly. I tell them why I'm calling. They said, what's your son's name? They asked for the case number. They said, yes, your son's here. Bail was set at $90,000. You need to post 10%, $9,000 to bail him out. But
and that's where the hook of the scam begins. Bail money, sending money, these things. I hate to leave you on a cliffhanger, but I've read that it's good for listener retention. So we're going to hear more from Gary when we get back, and I'm going to outline for you how AI was used in this, how AI could be a tool for good or bad, and how you can ensure you don't get caught up in one of these scams the way that Gary and his son did. We'll be back. In a beautiful world, you're so far. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show with me. Not Maggie Dawn. Instead, Anya. I don't know why I was so quiet in that opening. Totally messed up my levels. Anyways, hi, welcome back. We were talking about AI. Before that, we were talking about sexism. We're going to go back to AI. We're going to have some callers. It's going to be a great time. If you want to call in, give me a ring at 844-967-2789 or open up that little phone doodad of yours. Check out your local app store. Go ahead in there. Open up that search bar. Type in Civic Media. And it's going to lead you to probably a lot of answers, but the top one should be our app. And you can text us through that. And I'll read it. Like this text from Jim. Jim says, Jim from Appleton specifically says, regrettably, as an older man, I know how aggressive and domineering us testosterone-driven can be. It is wrong. Keep talking to us and maybe more of us will catch on. Hey, thanks, Jim. Hey, the big thing I think more often than not, what do they say about addiction? The first step is admitting you have a problem. I think we have to kind of treat all the isms, sexism, racism, you know, like that. It's not an addiction in the sense that it makes it feel good the way that maybe drugs or gambling or something like that could. But I think people do get addicted to feeling righteous and to feeling better and to, frankly, I think feeling angry. It is, anger is a passion. Anger is a push. Anger is something that keeps you going. And if, you know, I'm not saying that this guy who yelled at me on the street hates women, but I think we have to kind of open up the discussion for what does hateful behavior look like. I don't think you call someone that you don't hate the B word for crossing the street. I don't know that that means he does hate me. No, he doesn't like me. Jim follows up, having three children, two of them being daughters, I can see this scam working well. This is referring to the AI scam we're gonna visit more of in a second. However, even I know that getting an attorney assigned to your case takes days or weeks minimum, a minimum of hours. It doesn't happen that fast. Good point, Jim. And we're gonna dive into more of these sort of like telltale signs of AI. We do also have a caller on the line. I'm going to come to you in just a second. I just want to wrap up Gary's part of the story. Where we left off, Gary was enjoying a quiet afternoon to himself when his phone rang. And when he picked up, the voice of his son told him very quickly that that he'd been in an accident, he'd been mildly injured, but that the other driver was a pregnant woman who had been severely injured, and he had been arrested. When that call ended, another call came in from a lawyer named Barry Goldstein, who the son had referenced, and that lawyer added additional info that his son had been arrested for a failed breathalyzer, and he had a prepared response when Gary said, but my son would never drink and drive. And now he's told Gary, your son's bail, I don't know the difference between the two. That's Maggie's job. His amount of money to get out of jail free card had been set at $90,000. And Barry, the lawyer, quote unquote, gives Gary, the father, the number for a courthouse. He calls that courthouse. It answers like a courthouse. They don't say, hey, what's up? They say, you know, hey, thank you for calling such and such courthouse. And when Gary gives him the case number and these things, the courthouse has them. So it all seems very real. That's where we left off. Now Gary's going to explain what happens when he calls the courthouse and the issue of this bail money comes up.
So what's the problem? Bail was set at $90,000. You need to post 10%, $9,000, to bail him out. But there's a problem. So what's the problem? The county bail bondsman was away on a family emergency, and he's not available. He said, but there is a solution.
Of course there is.
You can post what they called an attorney's bond. I said, I'm an attorney.
Now, this is so interesting. Gary is maybe like the worst possible mark for these scammers because their whole thing revolves around the fear of the action that the U.S. government, law enforcement, the court system can take on you. Not to mention how traumatic it is to be arrested, booked, processed, and jailed. He doesn't want these things to happen for his son. But he's an attorney. This scam totally relies on people being, or at least feeling, powerless against the totality of the government, of law. But he's like in with it. He knows what this is about. Listen to their response. They've already had a canned response for earlier things. Listen to this. He says, but I'm an attorney.
He said, yes, but you haven't entered your appearance on behalf of your son. There's a Mr. Goldstein that did that. You should perhaps call him back.
What?
And try to get him to post an attorney's bond. Hang up. I call Mr. Goldstein back. Mr. Goldstein, can you post a bond for my son? Yes. You need to wire me $9,000. He said, I'm a member of a credit union, so you need to take...
A very Barry Goldstein move. He's a member of a credit union.
Take the cash to a certain kiosk, which will get the money to me.
Now, note he said wired. Barry Goldstein told Gary to wire the money. But listen to what this kiosk provides.
And I'm scheduled to leave for a conference in California. I'll be leaving to the airport in 2 hours. So you need to move quickly. I learned later that that kiosk was a Bitcoin kiosk that would convert the money to cryptocurrency.
So not only, it's just so much details.
I hang up. All of these calls happened in 2 minutes. This is the first time I had a chance to think. I called my daughter-in-law and suggested that she call work and tell them that my son wasn't going to make it today because he was in an accident.
He flies into dad taking care of things mode. Call his son's wife. Hey, in addition to, he doesn't even ask about the accident. He just knows that he knows there's been an accident. He's convinced there's been an accident. There's no question that there's been an accident. His first thought is, let's get this taken care of in addition to everything else. So he calls his son's wife, his daughter-in-law.
A few minutes later, FaceTime call from my son. He's pointing to his nose. He goes, my nose is fine. I'm fine. You're being scammed.
Wow. Take the totality of what you've just heard. They have his son's voice. The person speaking as a lawyer knew what they were saying. The people pretending to be the courthouse knew what they were saying. He was minutes, seconds maybe short of putting in the address to that Bitcoin kiosk and sending $9,000 via cryptocurrency to unknown entities. How did they do this? Well, they used AI to manufacture a version of his voice. They used AI to quickly pull phrases and key terms that come across as being professional, expertise even. And then they used, obviously, a complicated series of communications between the different people pretending those voices that were not AI created, like the son, those of Barry Goldstein and of the courthouse. Very complicated communication system. What does this mean for the average person? What does it mean when a law school educated kind of has a good head on his shoulders, head on a swivel, you know, he's asking these follow-up questions. He's doing the thing that I think we always shout at the TV when we see someone getting scammed, you know, ask a follow-up, make them call you. You call them, look at their website, vet this, check that. And the unfortunate truth is that the speed and semi-accuracy of AI and AI-generated text, AI-generated voices is really, really shifting the landscape of being able to vet information. So let's talk about how we can do it. I want to start with the call. First of all, if you're still answering unlisted numbers, I'm begging you to stop. At a certain point, you are funding them just by anyone ever picking up. And for your own mentality and your own sake, you shouldn't. Because as soon as you do, you've opened a line to players unknown. And you ask, how did this scam get the son's voice? The son is not a podcaster. He's not a professional in the media space like these other folks who get their voices turned into AI powered puppets, basically, like Trump or George Clooney or SpongeBob. You know, he's just a guy. He's just a dude. And there's no clear answer of how they got it, but it could at this point be as simple as one video they had access to online or him answering the phone and them taking that voice sample and using it to create something that isn't perfect. But hey, when it's a voice that's crying on the phone, some of your other logical faculties go out the window. Someone with far more logical faculties than me is Joanne from Madison. Joanne, now that I've rambled nonstop with you on hold, how are you? And what are your thoughts for the show today?
Well, I'm just so grateful that you're bringing up both of these huge issues, the personal attacks that you described at the beginning with your narrative, but also the very knotty problem of how to solve these scams. Mm-hmm. Answering a phone, is dangerous. People can take that voice print, and even if you think you recognize the telephone number, somebody saying, "Hey, who is this?" And, mm-hmm. and of course, I'd be saying Joanne Orevec, whatever. That name could be utilized in so many different ways.
Yeah.
So again, as a voice print, but I've got an answer for all of this. I think that we should be training the first line of support, the people who work at banks, everybody who works at courthouses and all of that, to recognize scams. And ask the questions. Ask the stupid questions. Why are you taking out that $9,000?
Yeah.
And even if that person looks embarrassed and all that, be nosy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an older person, and I've got a couple of friendly banks that I community banks that I utilize, and they're nosy.
Yeah.
Why are you taking that money out? And I'm very grateful to them, and I of course acknowledge that they are doing a public service, but it's not all banks, and I've moved mm-hmm. my money from a very big corporate bank that didn't give me any good feedback at all when I actually had an instance that could have been identity theft. I mean, I was basically told if those messages annoy you, forget about them. We'll tell you how not to get those messages. And I was thinking, this is the absolute opposite. You know, I of course talked to the manager and all of that, and so this is the opposite of what you should be informing people of. You know, that if somebody gets a suspicious message, light should go off in the bank. You know?
Yeah.
Strobe lights and all of that.
I agree. First of all, way more strobe lights in banks. I think it would make the line waiting process much better. Sorry to cut you off, Joanne. We're coming up towards a break, but I just want to follow up. First of all, it's like you read my mind. Your solution is fantastic. We have to be training people on this. And your follow-up, that it feels like there is no recourse at times. if you call a number, you know, here's the flip side, AI not being used as a nefarious tool by scammers, but AI being used as a adjectiveless tool by corporations. Take a listen to just this quick snippet. This is something that people tend to call the uncanny valley, the feeling that something is pretending to be human that isn't.
But will you just say, I'm not a robot? It'll make me feel better to hear you say it.
There is a live person here.
But I know there is. It would just make me feel so much better to hear you say, I am not a robot.
What?
If you could say the words, I'm not a robot, it would really mean...
I'm not a robot. I'll be back after this. I'm not a robot. I'll be back. Actually, I completely lied. I'll be back right now. I've still got a minute. Hold on.
I am a real person. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll take this time to follow up, to finish up on this, right? This is someone who called a helpline, and he's convinced, for whatever reason, that the person on the other line isn't real. They're AI. They're a robot. And he attempts to get answers. He kind of bullies this poor robot voice. But she won't say that she's a human. She won't say that she's a robot. It's just the uncanny valley between. Hey, this is She-Wolf. Enjoy it until the real break.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show with me, Anya. We're talking about AI. We've just discussed Gary and his plight against a series of AI scam calls attempting to convince him that his son had been in an accident, had been injured, had been subsequently arrested, and that he needed to wire a considerable amount of money to get the bail process started, and there's all these time constraints, and all of it using AI-powered fake voices, AI-powered information regarding the legal system that stumped even the attorney at the core of it, Gary, the individual who was being called. Let's talk more about AI because we have more showtime, of course. But first of all the music you heard today was AI-generated covers. This is a fantastic little piece of technology. You heard at the opening sort of a mishmash of different things. This is from the beginning, God is a Woman, originally by Ariana Grande, now with AI of Melanie Martinez. And while I'm not like a huge fan of either of them, it's very interesting the way in which AI captures Melanie's lisp and adds it to music that previously didn't have it. Additionally, you heard briefly AI cover of Billie Eilish over an acoustic version of Creep that originally featured Tom York, obviously of Radiohead.
Don't care if it hurts. I wanna have control.
I mean, you wanna tell me that's not Billie Eilish? You get that call, she goes,
I want a perfect body.
And you're like, I get you, I get you, Billie. I do too. And that sounds exactly like you. Definitely doesn't sound like Tom York to me. This one I thought was crazy. Britney Spears doing She-Wolf. You can kinda hear Britney in it. And this last one, I mean, this is really where we start getting into things that couldn't be. This is an AI cover of Skyfall featuring Amy Winehouse, who, of course, was not alive by the time Skyfall, originally recorded by Adele, came out. I remember reading as a kid a series called The Magic Treehouse. If you remember it fondly, let me know. And it was this book series where two young kids would get in a treehouse. They'd read about a historical period and they would travel back to that historical period. So they'd read a book about feudal Japan and the samurais. The treehouse would take them back to feudal Japan. They'd have to make friends with the samurais to learn about history. Very, very clever way of teaching kids about history without boring them. And one line stood out to me years later. I don't even remember which book it was, but they traveled back to the time where audio recording was new. And these kids who were from our time note in the book that a person from the past, baffled by audio recordings, this stereogram or whatever it was called back then, those wax cylinders, basically still, a character in the book exclaims, "My gosh, we can now listen to dead music." And a friend of the kids explains that this is how they referred to music made by people who had died. Essentially, they'd never get to hear it again. That was mind-bending for me as a kid who was born in the age of the internet. I was like, it doesn't matter if Freddie Mercury or John Lennon or any of these greats are dead. All their music's recorded. I can still listen to it. I can't see them in concert. That's too bad. But, you know, for the most part, we've got the things that we want. And now with AI, it doesn't matter if the artist was alive when the song came out. You can make a version of it and hear their voice sing it. Is that bad? Is that good? I think that's just a tool. And that's how we have to start referring to all this AI stuff. You know, the AI didn't scam Gary. People who were scammers before and probably after AI was invented saw that it was a tool and used that tool for harm. Another person who used that tool kind of to expedite their work and it ended up becoming something harmful is this this lawyer who basically asked ChatGPT to make his court filings. Hey, AI, using the facts of this case, write up what I need. And he submitted it to the court. And it was only when it was in court that people were like, hey, your brief here, your statement references court cases that don't exist. The AI made it up. That's a tool that went too far. He said, write a speech that proves I'm right. And the AI went, well, I got to make some stuff up to make that work, but all right. That's a tool. You ask the tool to do something it shouldn't have, people got hurt. It's like using a Blender as a record player. No one wants that to happen. But Blenders have purposes and records can be played, just not together, right? That's a really, really weird analogy for this. I'm sorry, but this is essentially my Friday. As we wrap up on what is essentially this Friday, I want to say, you know, I can't help but feel a sense of gratitude and warmth in the air as we gather our thoughts, as I'm gathering my thoughts and prepare to spend time with loved ones. I hope we can all take a moment to reflect on the blessings that have surrounded us. And that was written by AI. Did you believe it? Did you feel moved? I mean, I do mean those things, but I want to be clear. These are tools, right? Does it take a clever, creative, exceptional person to write what I've just said? No, I could do it. But to use AI as a tool that expedites things, to use AI as a tool that summarizes things, to use AI to create things that otherwise our reality couldn't, like a reality where we get to hear the beautiful dulcet tones of Amy Winehouse sing Adele's classic Bond theme, Skyfall. These are cool things, folks. We're living in the future. It's just that we keep letting, like, essentially the versions of supervillains get their hands on the cool technology first. Don't let it happen. Go out over, I almost said break. It's probably not a break for a lot of you folks. It's not really a break for me either. But over this holiday, talk to your friends. Talk to your family. How can you help each other? How can you be a tool to expedite? And how can you make sure you don't get scammed by AI? I don't know. But I know that this song's really good. I hope you enjoy it. Have a great Thanksgiving. I'll see you later.